Good to go. That's how we word a prayer, and then we'll sing a song or two. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day, and for life and health and strength, for each soul that's here, and for the homes that are represented. I pray you, Lord, please, that you would bless and honour us as we honour you, Lord. I pray you, Father, for your presence, for a hand upon our shoulders, or under our arms, Lord, just depending on where we are in life, but I know that you know, and please help us. I pray you too, Lord, for our sister churches, wherever they might be, for the people that stand up to lead them, for those that are preaching the full counsel of your word, Lord, I pray that you would honour, and even now, in these dark days, that you would save souls. You know, we really do need you, Lord, and I pray you, Father, that you would fulfil those. Pray for the folks on the road, Lord, for Stephen and Anne-Marie, for Carol and Marie and Harry, for Jane and Corey, for Norman and Joan, for Michael and his family, and for Henry and Evelyn, Lord. Please speak to these souls, as well as Alan and Pearl, and the many others that, Lord, that would tune into the internet. Father, I pray that these services and these praises and prayers would be a help. You know the state of our country, Lord, and the world at this particular time. I pray, Lord, please, for the leaders of it, that they would start making right decisions and not greed-based decisions or wickedness-based decisions. Please oppose those that are setting mischief, Lord, even until you take us home. And please, Lord, bless those that love you. And thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord, especially for your Son, for your work. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and Lord, for just the promise of an open ear whenever we meet. We ask that you'd be one of our number during this time, that you wouldn't be finished with us, Lord, yet. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Our first hymn of the morning is 259. 259, this is what it's all about. 259, that is Jesus. Just remain seated as we sing. Thank you. thing. Would you like to assume the position on the keyboard, and we'll turn to number two in the wee black books, because this is also what it's about. It's about this blessed old book. Hymn number two in the wee black books, this blessed old book.
The
But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet,
And when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, do not vain repetitions, but the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. They disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head, and wash thy face. And thou appear not only men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through the thief. But lay up for yourself treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye, and therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. For therefore the light that is in thee be darkness. How great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God shall clothe the grass of the field, which one day is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe thee, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Amen.
Thank you, sir. Amen. Some powerful verses in there. Thank you for the Bible reading. Just want to remind you all as well of our new prayer list. Please do make sure that you get one before you go home. You should be, if you're here, if you're saved, you should be actually taking one of those and at least once in the week praying and for all the people in here and their prayer requests and all of those other things as well. Even, I know we're down numbers at the moment, but even if we all did that every other day of the week, you would all be prayed for once each day. That's how important it is. I like to know that I am being prayed for, so make sure that you take time in there. Now, I have a blank sheet as far as private prayer requests go. Has anybody here got any prayer requests? Private prayer requests, that is. 1, 2, 3, four, seven. That is grand. Pat and Steve said to send their regards. Please do keep praying for them. And is there anything else that needs to go on here? Yes, Rob.
Good morning, McNeil family.
McNeil, is that the...
Yeah. Also the Battersby family as well, the kid, Archie Barker, that was pulled off life support yesterday and died quite fast.
I heard about that. Family of young Archie, was it? What happened?
He was just on life support. Basically, there's a legal battle, but he switched it off or not. He's been dead at 12 o'clock yesterday, and then fucking last day he died.
What happened with him on life?
I don't know. He just went, I think he went unconscious in his house at one stage.
Probably well gone before that happened at that rate of going, but please do pray for the Battersby family as well. That's the McNeil family. There's a death in the family. That's neighbours of Will's. Please do pray for them. The Battersby family too. Anything else? Things going travelling? Is that what you were about to say? Go on ahead.
That is not going to travel.
Then we'll be away for a few days between the 10th and the 15th. Is that right?
Yeah.
And flies in. Please do pray also about this rededication service. That needs to happen, I think that would best happen in the last week in August, the way things are going at the moment. So please do pray about that. Please also do pray. There is some meeting. I think it's the Church of Ireland, the Free Church, or somebody anyway, is supposed to be having a meeting on the 12th of August in the Guildhall.
I think that's in the Baptist weekend.
So please do pray for them. Not the best of days to be doing anything in there on the 12th of August, but please do pray for them on the 12th and 13th, if you would. Can't think of anything else. I would appreciate your prayers still. I'm getting there and doing much better than I was, but still not 100%. As you can see, the grass needs cut. Might need to pick your brains about final instructions before I pull the string on board. If you want to do it in case it does something wrong. And I think that's about that. Please do pray for each other. Don't forget Will's mother, Christine, and his granny, Mary Ann. Mary Ann and Lord Will will be coming out of respite care on Thursday. Be back home. So please do pray for her after her knee surgery. And pray that everything goes okay. Lots to be prayed about. Pray for McMahon's, pray for Colm, pray for those that have been and gone, and our leaders and all that stuff. Lots of prayers. Let's have a wee word. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, you know what, Lord? Sometimes I hate coming before you with a shopping list full of stuff that's on our minds. But Lord, just like we read in the scriptures, you know what we're on our mind before we even utter the words. And you know about the McNeil family, the Battersby family, in the wake of the passing of two loved ones. And I pray your good hand upon them at this time, that they would draw closer to you. I pray also for our private prayer requests this morning, and you know what they are, Lord. And I pray that you would work in our lives and in the lives of those that are wrapped up in those private prayer requests, Lord. I pray, Lord, for our leaders at this present time. Britain's not doing well, and America, China is having financial difficulties with a lot of their banks. Lord, for Russia, for Ukraine, for Taiwan, for, Lord, just for Australia and New Zealand, for Europe and South America, for Africa. Goodness, the whole world is in turmoil. I pray, Father, please, that those that are responsible for it will be opposed at every turn. And those, Lord, that love you and want the best for their countries in a good way, Lord, that you would bless and honour them as they carry out or discharge their duties as duly appointed leaders. Father, you know all of our needs. I pray that you would supply them. And Father, you know the needs of our brothers and sisters across the world. You know, Lord, those that live in countries where it is highly illegal to even mention your name, if your life would be taken in your hands, I pray for provision and protection for them and for, Lord, for many souls to be saved. And I pray you, Lord, for the people in our own country, Northern Ireland, Lord, and even just around this neck of the woods. Father, we have had the gospel for so long and yet we treat it with so little respect. I pray you please, Lord, that you would speak to souls about that. Pray for the Bissets, Lord, for the Cullens. I pray for the Asquiths and the Seelys, for, Lord, for the Haynes as well, Lord, as they discharge their duty to those that you've entrusted them with. Lord, for the Foxes, for the Pooleys, for the Isaacsons, for the Kennedys, for the Snows and the Smiths. Lord, for all those, Lord, that we know and we've had run-ins with, I pray, Lord, that you would work hard upon all of us, Lord, and make us the people that you need for us to be. But, Lord, at this particular time, I pray for a time of rest and a time of recharging, a time of comforting, Lord, and a time of wisdom and direction. Bless us now and through the remainder of the service. And we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 448 is our next hymn. 448, in the big books, obviously. 448, brethren, we have met for worship. We remain seated as we sing.
Pray with all your power.
songs need extra verses, and some days they need a verse less. We're going to sing our next song, is number 29 from the Wee Black Books, if you'd like to take them there. Okay? This one is Precious Lord, Take My Hand. Hymn number 29 in the Wee Black Books. For this one we will stand. We'll get our steps or our calf raises or whatever it is, our squats in this morning. Precious Lord, take my hand. Cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will ye that I shall do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed. Speaking on the subject of bigger than beggar, we're going to take all of these verses, we're going to be having a quick run through them, and then we'll be spending a moment or two in that and seeing how that applies to us today. Amen. Would you pray for us, Brooke, if you wouldn't mind, Brooke?
Yes. Father, thank you for your love, thank you for your love, thank you for your love, thank you for your love. sure the church handled this, I'm sure this work, and they are praying that our service be accepted as I've been today and for now on, Lord. Lord, good for our families, bring them more into knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, save us onto our members and friends and family, and Lord, save them mighty and powerful, and good back to the ground, Lord, there's not a call, you can save them, Lord, and that's it, that's our promise, Lord, Lord. Save the Don Carlos team, Lord, save their souls, mighty and powerful, but God for our lives, Lord. For Christine and King Stephen, my Lord, and my chaplain as well. And with Stephen Pat, Lord, heal Steve, Lord. Give us strength, Lord, to help him in his heart, Lord. And Lord, give us that also, Pat as well, Lord. We're working on the day, Lord. And Lord, may the words come out of the Bible to us, Lord. And may he speak to our hearts and our souls in a special way, Lord. And draw us closer and walk with thee and with thy son, Lord, as well, Lord. With those that mourn, Lord, with the lady and her family, she mourns a husband, Lord. And also with the Basha family as they mourn a son as well, Lord. Give the Basha family, Lord, and Lord, save them as well, Lord. And mighty and powerful as well, Lord. With Marcus come to the Lord, with us both, and put the Spirit, Lord. And reach out and touch our souls, Lord, as well, Lord. We have secured us and made the great happiness, right, and set them aside. Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Will. Amen. Bigger than a beggar. Sure, a lot of people don't think there's anything much smaller than the beggar, but plenty of things that are bigger than beggars. But let's just see how the Lord treats these two beggars. This is a historical account. It's not an allegory and it's not a parable. These things actually happened and were recorded a number of times in the Gospels by different writers of the Gospel. Anybody ever heard of Jericho before? Anyone remember the walls of Jericho falling down whenever the children of Israel marched round them for 7 days? But the Lord is coming out of Jericho many, many centuries later. And of course, at this point in the Lord's ministry, people have been raised from the dead. Winds and waves have been calmed. Demons have been cast out. The blind have been made to see many times. In fact, just about anything that was niggling, wouldn't it be great to have the Lord wandering about Derry, ministering, and you wake up in the morning with a tweak in your back, knowing that it's an old problem aggravated, that you could just go down and meet the Lord and say, Lord, my back has been giving me jip for years. I finally broke and come to you. Would you heal me? Do you know what the Bible actually says? He never turned anybody away. He healed all that came to him. And this is a thing that has always irked me a little bit about these faith healers that you hear so much about. They're nothing but a bunch of charlatans. They struggle so hard with their 7 cars and 2 jets and 5 houses around the country. It's really difficult being a faith healer. But I have promised if you ever come across a faith healer, they have room and board at my house for all the time it takes for me to drive them around all of the hospitals and retirement homes in Northern Ireland to see everybody saved. I will feed them, I will water them. That is my standing challenge. But anyway, Jesus was coming out of Jericho and there was a great bunch of people followed him. And that, you know what, there's a message even there by itself. People were expecting things to happen. And as they were going, and I love the way this always happens. Jesus never just happened to be going anywhere. There was always a plan. There were 2 beggars seated along the way between Jericho and his destination. Now whether they knew the Lord was going to be coming that way and maybe a day or so previous had installed themselves there, or more likely the Lord knew exactly where they were and he made sure that he was going to pass them by. But either way, their paths were going to cross. When the beggars hear that it's Jesus, they cry out and say, have mercy on us. And they even name him, they call him the Lord, the Son of Man, the Son of David. They name his lineage, one of the titles of God Almighty. And the very sad thing about it is, A, that they had to be there like that, but that's just the way it was back in the day. If you couldn't work, you didn't eat and you died. That was it. You were cast to one side. I am sure that would straighten up a lot of people in this world today if they knew that they, weren't going to have a full belly when they went home at night. Well, there's people that need it, but there's a lot of people that need a toe up the backside instead. And that's very sad. But sad stories get turned into glad stories whenever you come across Jesus. The beggars had only two things that they could do. They could hear and they could speak. And they used those two things. I am sure that again, by the time we've gotten to this point in Christ's ministry, everybody's heard of Jesus. Everybody knows what he can do. Everybody knows someone that knew Jairus' daughter, or knew the demoniac of Gadara, or knew Lazarus, or the widow woman's son, or the man whose little child was possessed with devils and would throw him into the fire and into the water. Everybody knew somebody, or the woman with the issue of blood, or the woman that was bent over. Everybody knew somebody that had been touched by Jesus. And it wasn't the important people. It wasn't the kings. It wasn't just the kings. It wasn't just the Pharisees. It wasn't just the big cheeses. It was the common man. And not only did the common man receive Jesus gladly, Jesus received the common man gladly too. Anybody that would come to him. So they heard this. What does it say in Romans chapter 10? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And having faith in God, they called out to him. They used their lips. In Romans 10, it also says that if thou confess with thy lips the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's a beautiful portion of God's word. You should know it. It doesn't say anything about years of works or fortunes in the plate. Those are things to keep the wheels turning in this world, but they don't save your soul. It just says, confess with your lips and believe in your heart, and you shall be saved, like the thief on the cross did. So they use the voices and they cry out, Lord, please help us. Have mercy on us. One of the interesting things is, and it's just an observation about people, is all of these people, they didn't say, look, Lord, here's these two blind men. Let's see what you can do with them. They must have thought they were on their way to something greater. Maybe he was going to feed thousands of people again. Maybe we'll get a full belly out of it. They said, be quiet. Don't be saying anything. You're bothering Jesus. We're off to see something that's bigger than a beggar. We want to see something that's bigger than a beggar. But that's not the way the Lord works. The Lord knows everything. And this was a sterling lesson in, doesn't matter who you are or what you are, the Lord loves you. And he wants to do for you what he can. And what the most important thing that he did, we know, was to give his life on the cross of Calvary. But as he walked and talked about Israel, he healed people. He changed lives. He changed the direction of people's eternity. They were saying, be quiet. We're doing God's work here. We're not interested in a couple of beggars. But they called out all the louder, and Jesus stopped. And I'm glad of that. I'm glad that no matter who calls upon Jesus, whether it's a king or a prince or a pauper, that the Lord will stop. And the Lord will give them whatever it is that they need to be saved. And he asked them this question. What do you want me to do for you? What is it that you really want? What will ye that I shall do for you? Now, if Jesus asked us the same question, I wonder what we would say. Let's put ourselves back in the shoes of these beggars. And let's name a few things that people put store by back in the day. Things that people counted as important. Lord, we would love a palace with marble walls and fountains and servants and the best of food. Lord, we would love silk for our clothes. We would love veal and venison. We would love fresh quail eggs. Is that a thing? Lord, we would love the purest of water. We would love chariots of gold and the most amazing stallions to draw them with. Lord, we would love the most eloquent of orators to entertain us. And we would love to attend the Colosseum to be entertained by the gladiators as they show us their martial prowess. Lord, we would love bars of gold so that we can get whatever we want whenever we want it. Lord, we would love a really sharp sword because I know for a fact you can't live your life without a sharp sword, can you? My little pocket knife. No point in having a blunt knife. There's more injuries happen with blunt knives than with sharp knives. Lord, we would love this. Oh, and I would love to live till I'm 200, because you did that back in the day, Lord. And I would love a beautiful spouse and healthy children. And Lord, I would love big muscles so that I can be whatever I want. Wouldn't it be great to have all those things? Wouldn't it? It would be nice to have a life of relative ease, to let your wealth and your assets insulate you from the difficulties that are going on in life. It would be nice. The Lord's asked, what would you like me to do for you? But if you look at those two beggars, what's the distinguishing feature about them? They're blind. What use would all of those things be to them? The problem with those two men was they were blind. It was foundational. No matter what you paraded in front of them, you could parade the most beautiful chariot in front of them with the most immaculately manicured and whatever else it is that you call that you do to horses to make them look nice. These beautiful Arabian stallions, all muscle and gleaming skin and this, that and the other. You could parade that in front with your own personal bodyguards in shining metal armor with sharp swords and able to knock a coke can off a tree at 100 yards, or the ancient equivalent of. All that would mean to them would be the rattle of wings and the clopping of hooves. You could walk them through the most beautiful of houses, and all that it would mean to them is maybe the smoothness of the marble on their feet. You could leave them a pile of money or gold in front of them, and it wouldn't mean anything. It would just be the same as the gravel in the streets. The real problem is, Lord, we're blind. Nothing means anything if we don't have our sight. They lived in a day when, because of their lack, all that they could do was sit on a street corner with a little clay pot out and beg for pennies. And maybe get home at the end of the day and maybe pass by a baker that had a little bit of leftover bread and give him a little bit of money so that they had enough to keep them going for another day. The problem is not their lack of money or their lack of houses or their lack of food. The problem was they're blind. And I know there is an awful lot in this world that depends upon you and I being able to see. And I know that it is important because there's 60% of us here use spectacles. We like to see, and we like to see clearly. These men had time to contemplate what was important. They may even have said, I heard that Jesus is going to be coming back from Jericho. Let's make sure we're on the road back from Jericho. I am sure they spoke many times, these two beggars, about the things that they would like to do. And not one of them involved winning the pools, or having a big horse, or a pile of gold bricks. Anybody guess what their biggest desire would be? It would be the sea. And so they said, Lord, we want the sea. Open our eyes. We have spent years contemplating what it is that we really, really need, and it is to be able to see. And do you know what? The Lord had compassion on them. And I want for you to know, the Lord had the same compassion on these two beggars that he had on the rich, that accepted him, that begged for his help, that he had on the rich young ruler that rejected his help. In fact, the Word of God records that the Lord, looking on the rich young ruler, loved him. Knew what it was that he needed. And said to him, this is your problem. These guys knew what their problem was. And they asked the Lord. And he touched them. And they were healed. And guess what they did? They followed Jesus. They made that their priority. There was no mention of making fortunes or building houses or seeking a spouse. Because I think Norman was reading in Matthew, the Lord knows all the things that you need, and you honour him and he will honour you. You give to him and he will give back to you. You serve him and he will make sure things work out for the best for you. That is the promise of God. They followed Jesus. They made that their priority. And in following Jesus, I know, I don't think there's any more mention of them. Maybe their names crop up or their actions crop up later in this portion of God's Word. But they were renowned for the two beggars that were healed and they followed Jesus. I'm sure they got to hear a lot and see a lot. And I would like to think they were the ones that stood by him because they were personally, deeply, and fundamentally changed whenever Jesus touched them. Life changed completely when they were supernaturally healed. Completely. Do you think anybody called them, that's the two beggars that sit by the road? No. Things changed so much, in fact, that people in future would say, that's them that used to be blind and used to sit by the road. But look at them now. And you know what really, really spoke to me about this is such a vivid picture of the world today. All the things that's going on in the world, and so many people are completely captivated by the noise, by the shiny things, by the flashing lights. So many people are captivated by it. And if you think I'm talking out of my hat, you go on to eBay and you think of something really obscure that hardly anybody's interested in, like Star Trek. Type Star Trek into eBay. Hundreds of thousands of people buying and selling Star Trek. Type crockery. Royal Dalton, for instance, onto eBay. Hundreds of people buying and selling Royal Dalton. And I'll give you something that's even more obscure. I like to paint little plastic soldiers from whenever I get a chance. Which hasn't been very much this past year or two. And you would think, well, I actually don't know anybody except the pastor that does that or builds model kits. Type that into eBay and you will find thousands and tens of thousands of people that do that. People are out there. And there's enough people out there doing all these different things that people think that this is not just important to them, but it's the only important thing in life to them. People can surround themselves with so many people telling them they're right, but they'll never even consider that they're wrong. However, just like the rich young ruler, just like these two blind men, there are some people out there that say, wait a second, is this all there is to life? Even though I have company, and even though I'm occupied, and even though I have food on the table, and clothes on my back, and a roof over the head, and water, and electricity, and internet, is there anything else that people demand for their rights these days? And people's going to get a real shock when some of them disappear. Is there anything else? Water, electricity, roof over your head, food on the table, clothes on your back, internet.
Fuel in the car.
Fuel in the car, there you go. People, still, those that stop for a moment, but get time to contemplate, might say, it's not doing it for me. The rich young ruler being the case in point, I have done all the things I'm supposed to do, There's still stuff missing. But, and I would like to think that we are in some small way responsible for this in Derry and around and about. Sometimes they might come across or cross the path of a Christian. Whether it be the Christian themselves or whether it be a little gospel tract in through the door, and you might think, hold on a second. I've been going to church for years. And I've been at the chapel, and I've been at the church, and I've been to the gospel hall. Or wherever it is, I've gone to the LDS or the JWs. They're not doing it for me. Every time I go, there's company, there's, in quotes, entertainment. But when I go away, I leave empty. There is still something not right. Just like the blind man. Realize that something's missing, and it affects everything in life. I know none of us is exactly doing badly here. There's none of us living under a bridge. And I hope it never comes to that either. And I know we have homes, phones. We get entertained, we get fed, we get water. None of us looks like we're starving to death. And we're all, I was going to say we're all pretty healthy. I might have to stand off to the side of that group at the moment. Feeling pretty healthy. We have got so much. How would being blind affect your life right now? Do you think you would notice if you suddenly went blind? How would it affect you driving the car? Is that a silly question? How would it affect you walking down Shipkey Street? Or Fountain Hill? Or Chapel Road? How would it affect you crossing the road? How would it affect you if you went to make a cup of tea? You might think, right, I'm in the bed. And it's so many steps to here, and you're stubbing your toe and banging your knee in the side of the bed, and you forgot you left the door open, and you walk straight into it. It gets you right down the bridge of the nose, and hopefully you don't fall down the stairs, but you walk tentatively down and into the kitchen, and you vaguely remember where everything is, or you have to remember exactly where it is, and everything that needs done. Life becomes a lot more difficult. You don't appreciate the beautiful colours on your clothes or the beautifully painted walls that you have about. You certainly are not going to appreciate whatever entertainment YouTube's throwing out or the cinema or TV. Life's going to be different. No point in having a car. No point in a beautiful summer's day. Certainly can't appreciate it like you used to anymore. But that's the way a lot of people are in this world today, without God, without Christ as their Saviour. I have never come across so many people working so hard and pouring so much money into telling themselves, convincing themselves, that life is great and that they don't have to look anywhere else. In fact, just by way of an example, do you know who the LGBT I and whatever else letters, do you know who they hate the most and fear the most? It's not Christians. It's not gospel preachers. It's people who used to be part of the LGBTQI movement. Because they have said, hold on a second, this is not working for me. I am going to look elsewhere for the meaning of my life. That's what people need to do. Stop for a moment. It's one of the reasons why the Lord said, work 6 days and take one day off. Contemplate where you are in life. Think seriously. Don't be using that last day. It's not a family day. It's God's day. It's God first and then your family brought along with you into God's day. And the fact that people are running on empty, spiritually speaking, hardly ever occurs to them until, just like in the parable of the man that built his house on the rock and the man that built his house in the sand, until disaster comes. And the whole life that they have built comes tumbling down. Sometimes there will be a whisper. Sometimes it will be a personal meeting. I've heard of people get saved or at least pointed in the right direction just with a gospel tract, even with a contemplative, meditative thought, if devils are responsible for bad things, if bad spirits are responsible for bad things happening, surely good spirits must be responsible for good things happening. Good spirits, send someone or show me what's what. I'll let Monica fill the details in on that, but that actually happened. And whenever God passes by, in whomever's life it is that he is, or she that he is as they pass by, even though the world wants that person to keep going, because heaven forbid that people's lives should actually be changed for the better by trusting in God, you'll find that there's a little bit of time. Almost like apart from the world, that God can speak to that person. That's happened to me a few times. I don't know, I know we've all seen movies here, haven't we? We haven't been, certainly. You ever see a movie and there's probably a little bit of comedy or something in it, where the person, the star, turns away from the camera, turns away from what he's doing, looks at the camera, and the camera zooms in on them, and they have a little aside from the rest of the film. That has happened to me. It's what people call an epiphany a couple of times. When God has spoken to me just in a moment, and it seems like the rest of the world doesn't matter. Just for a moment. And in those moments, decisions have been made by me that have brought me to this point in my life. Not the decisions about my diet, because if I had thought about that sooner, I wouldn't have had to go to the hospital. But decisions where I stand with God and what I'm going to do with my life. I remember God saying to me in the middle of a meeting, is this what you want to do with the rest of your life? Hop through hoops like little puppies for a guy in a circus act. And I said, God, no. I do not want to do that, Lord. Just in that moment. And that steered my life in a different direction. Just like that. There are times when God is passing, he will stop, and he will talk, and he will quite literally ask you, what is it that you want? Whether you're saved, whether you're lost, God deals with his people. Joel chapter 2 says, we live in the days when God's Spirit is poured out upon all flesh. For those that aren't saved to get saved, the conviction of sin and judgment to come. For those that are saved to, walk with him a bit more. Talk with him a bit more. Change the direction of the life that you're leading. And guess what? When a person says yes to God, saved or lost, when a person says yes, it's the start of a new life. It's the start of a walk down a different path. And we should take it. You'd be a fool not to. This is the God Almighty that gave his life on the cross for anybody that will come to him. That just in that moment, in an instant that person is born again, they go from a hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner to a heaven-bound, hell-deserving sinner. That's a big change. That is a huge change. That affects the rest of your life. And if it doesn't, I have a question mark over your salvation. That makes you a new creature, a new diet, new noises. Do you ever see, if you look at, does anyone ever look at magpies? And do you ever listen to them? And they have this crackle, sort of, they go like that there, especially whenever you're chasing them away from your chickens and the eggs that they eat. But if you went to look at a cat, you would say, that's a different creature. It walks on the ground, it doesn't fly, it's furry, not covered in feathers, it makes different sound. It's a different creature, and so should a saved soul be. Just like these blind beggars were, so can you be. Because a saved soul has a new dimension added to their lives. One that adds colour, and flavour, and joy, and understanding, and power, and peace. That is literally on the table for the saved soul for every part of their life. Instead of it being a frantic sprint from one end of your life to the other as people actually look for these things, God offers these things. And to cap it all off, the promise of peace and life, eternal life in heaven with God forever and ever when this life is over. It changes you. It opens your eyes to a bigger life, one with purpose. It actually lets you understand why things are the way they are. You can even see how biblical prophecy is coming to pass and how we're supposed to live through it. And we're not going to speak about prophecy, and we're not going to spend time on the all of the details about that joy, that no matter what happens, you're still into heaven, or the understanding of the way why people behave the way they do, or the wisdom that God will give you and how it affects your life, and how you're able to skip over things that bog other people down, and the power that you have, and not being dragged down by everything that's going on in the world. We're not going to spend time on that. God gives you more. Better. Gooder. Better for you. The really strange thing is that there is so much going on in life today, so many institutions, so many organizations, so many governments, including our own, and of course the very devil himself, that don't want you to have that. Why would you not? I am sure that there are governments that have done studies that show that a happy and a contented populace produces much more taxes and much more revenue and many more goods than a discontented or a malcontented population. Why would you not want all of your people happy and joyful? Unless, of course, you're a devil yourself and everything that they do and say is going to hurt you or work against you. But you think about it for a moment. Our government doesn't want Christianity to spread. In fact, they legislate against it. I was looking at a thing on Facebook this morning about a black preacher in England being arrested for doing nothing but preaching the gospel on the street. And he was well dressed. And a wee earphone thing on, I'm sure a speaker somewhere as well. He was arrested for preaching the gospel on the street. That's our law enforcement agency. Our government, the pinnacle of whom is good old Bojo, Boris Johnson. You know what the death knell on his prime ministership was for me? About his feelings with Roe v. Wade being overturned. It's a sad day or a dark day for women when they can't murder their unborn, defenseless, helpless, and very much dependent upon them children in the womb. That's a sad day. What sort of man behaves that? I'll tell you what sort of man. A man that hates God and doesn't want any of his population believing in him, but doesn't actually realize that they make the best citizens. They want us to live sad, empty, powerless, pointless, grey lives without God in them. They want us wandering through life spiritually blind and deaf, deaf. Looking to them, treating them like God. And as I was thinking on that, I remembered Isaiah chapter 14. If you remember nothing else about Isaiah 14, remember the five I wills of the devil. And the very last thought of the devil recorded for us is, I will be like the Most High. I will be the one to give people power and peace and purpose and wisdom. I will be the one to give people's lives direction. That's exactly what the world, the flesh and the devil wants to be. They want to be God in your life. And they promise these things. Why do you think there are so many advertisements out there in the world? Oh, it used to be, whenever I was little, if you smoke these cigarettes, everyone will think that you're cool. If you drink this drink, you will be so much happier. If you wear these heels, you would be so much more attractive to the opposite sex. If you drive this car, everyone will think you've got it made. All of these things that the world, the flesh, the devil, and our advertising agencies try to convince you will make your life better. But the thing that people really need is Christ as their Savior. That's it. Even saved soul that is blind can see things so much more clearly than most of our leaders in our present world today. And God doesn't want that for anybody. He doesn't want it for Boris Johnson. He doesn't want it for Joe Biden. He doesn't want it for Xi Jinping. He doesn't want it for Vladimir Putin. He doesn't want it for Trudeau or Macron. He doesn't want it for, I'm trying to think of all of the leaders of the world, and I can't remember half of them, or even a quarter of them. He doesn't want it even for those wicked souls that are intent on destroying their countries. He wants them saved. Each one of the souls in this world, that includes you and me, were loved. And we are important to God. We're so important that He gave His life on the cross of Calvary to deliver us from hell. And that will be ours when we repent of our sins and ask for it. I want for you to understand that regardless of your parents or your education, regardless of the color of your skin, or even the color of clothes that you want to wear. I have heard that brightly colored clothes are more comfortable in the summer than dark colored clothes. Not right, Mrs. Bradford. No matter the assets that you can lay your hands upon, the thing about it is, when you come to Christ, you don't come to deal. Lord, you know what? If you save my soul, I'll give you this. You don't come to haggle. You don't come to trade. Every soul that has come to the foot of the cross comes crying and pleading and begging. Just in the same way that the beggars were worth stopping for on the road home from Jericho, God would stop for you because in the eyes of God there's nothing bigger than a beggar, especially when that beggar is you. Amen. Stop on there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. I've got a slot for a hymn. If anybody has a favourite that they want to shout out the number to real quick, we'll sing it and then we'll be done for the morning.
281.
281 is
asking God to send the Saviour.
Sounds good to me. Let's stand as we sing 281 of the big books, passing off the gentle time of the council this morning. God bless you. If we have to pray for Lynn, she'll be travelling on Wednesday, is it?
Wednesday morning. Very good.
And don't forget that. And back 5 days later. So please do pray for Lynn and Dr. Shine as they travel. And for Will's neighbours and the Canadian family at this time. And the Battered Creek family too. And each other, that's important. Make your daily bread, it's okay to pray for you. But I look forward to seeing you soon. God bless you. Let's close your eyes and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this little bit of a sidestep from the world. Please bless us as we go our separate ways. And Lord, please, please just remind us of the great things that you've done for us. And to take our eyes off of the world and fix them in. Love you and praise you. Please save souls. Please edify your saints continually, Lord. And please come quickly. We love you. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, Father.